Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you are so faithful. And today on this day when all of our nation and many other nations celebrate the gift that mothers are to us, we thank you that you sought out these disciples on the road to Emmaus. St. Luke tells us that they were downcast, that they were sad, they were troubled. And yet out of your love for them, just like your love for us, you taught them. And you emboldened them, and you revealed yourself to them. And their response is amazing. Lord, today we want that response. We want our eyes to be opened and our hearts to burn within us with a passion for you, for the covenant you've made with us, for fathers and mothers, for families, and for the truth. Lord, we ask now that you would open our eyes and our ears, our hearts and our minds, that we may take in all that you have for us in your holy scriptures, that we may grow in an appreciation for your love and faithfulness. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a glorious day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are faithful to rejoice and be glad in it. And today, especially on this third Sunday of Easter, we hear the story of these two disciples whose faces were downcast, who were sad and troubled by what they had experienced on this Easter Sunday as they travel 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And it's interesting, on this Mother's Day, that we look at how our Savior interacts with these discouraged disciples. And for many of us, this is an example of the heart of our God and the love of the Father for his children, but also a good representation, at least in my life, of my grandmother and mother. It's interesting because St. Paul acknowledged the truth of mothers when he shared in 1 Timothy, as it's our 2 Timothy chapter 1. These words: "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." St. Paul recognized that the sincere faith that Timothy had began in the relationship that his grandmother and his mother, I don't know what happened to his father here, but for whatever reason, Paul remembers Timothy's grandmother and his mother, maybe because they were alive and he had met them, I'm not sure, but it was significant enough for him to say, this is sincere faith, genuine faith. This is not something that someone says and then lives differently, but a sincere faith. And it's important because as we conclude our study on covenant, someone might ask the question, why did you take so long? You started in Genesis chapter 3 at the beginning of Lent. You talked about the new covenant during Holy Week and Easter. And now you spent last week talking about marriage as an example of covenant, how God built it in such a way that it exemplifies the idea of covenant. And we're closing the series today talking about the covenant of transforming power. How God does not want us to look at covenant as something in the past, but how that covenant that we have with him through holy baptism, the covenant that he has made with us, affects us and our actions each and every day. That's why we spend so much time on this. That's why we're going to talk about covenant and kingdom over and over and over again, because it is one of our core values. One of the biggest things that is lacking in our society today, which I think that as parents, as fathers and mothers, we should be concerned about, is our children's sense of identity. Because one of the biggest issues in society today, and we're told this by the people who study this, is a sense of worth, is a sense of value, is a sense of what you might call esteem. And brothers and sisters, I believe that the most important thing for us as a church is to understand who we are in Christ. Understand that Christ has made a new covenant with us that Jeremiah 31 talked about when it says everyone will know him. He's not hiding from anyone. He's there. He's here. Ezekiel tells us that he will take our hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh. Over and over again in Paul's writings, if you looked at my blog, I put a bunch of lessons that you should look at, and if you're taking the study on covenant, you'll look at those in Galatians chapter 3, 4, and 5. It even compares Hagar and Sarah and the amazing gift that we have as being children of the covenant in a comparison with the two. I mean, we are so blessed to know that our God is a God who has made a covenant with us, and he has given us the power to recognize what it means. That's why we had the lesson from Acts chapter 2, where the disciples, where the people, as Peter took them through the story and revealed the scriptures to them and basically proved to them that Jesus is the Messiah. This has happened at Pentecost, and what happens is the people are affected by the words of Scripture, and they say, brothers, what shall we do? And he says, well, repent and believe. Because Jesus is both God and Lord. If we would have had the lesson that was in the pericopes last week, we would have heard St. Thomas say, when Jesus appeared to him, that the Christ is both God and Lord. It's so important for us as believers to understand this. And that's why on Mother's Day, I think it is interesting that this just happens to fall on Mother's Day this year. Understand how much stock St. Paul put in that sincere faith that was handed down from Lois and Eunice to this young pastor, Timothy. He goes on to say, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So he's saying, you received a sincere faith, and when I laid hands on you, the Holy Spirit came and filled you to overflowing, and now you need to fan into flames that gift so that it burns. It burns. And it's interesting because I love this story of Jesus appearing to these disciples on the road to Emmaus when they were in a time of despair, when they were in a time of frustration, where they're pondering what the women had said. If you read the beginning of Luke chapter 24, well, not the beginning, actually. If you read, I guess it is close to the beginning. Verse 11, it says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. That's right before these disciples say, I've had enough. I'm going home. What do you think they were doing going to Emmaus? They're taking their toys and they're going home. They're frustrated. They're downcast. That's what the Bible says. St. Luke says they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Clopas asked him, Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know what has happened? Know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus asked this question. I love it. What things? This is why he's acting like a mother, right? How many times do mothers know the answers and yet still ask the questions? What's on your face? They know exactly what's on your face. And they know exactly how you got that on your face. And yet they still ask the question. Jesus does the same thing. It's amazing to me. He does exactly the same thing. Because he loves them and he desires for them to know the truth. He asks them, what happened? And they say, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. I think that they're wondering, you know, didn't he say something about 3 days? In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And this is what amazes me about Jesus, because, you know, you might think that Jesus would be this type of father or parent that would take these disciples and put his arm around them and say, oh, I am so sorry. It's okay. Is that what he does? No. Now, I'm certain there are times when he did that. I have no question about that. We see that over and over again, but in this particular case, he does something that I think really shows the importance of what he's going to share with them, that they'll pay attention to what he says. Because he says to them, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And brothers and sisters, that's my concern. My concern is that we have a high value in this congregation of understanding the covenant, because our first and foremost thing that we want everyone to understand is that we belong. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've worked for it. Not because we have this great amount of knowledge. But because Jesus says we belong. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. He rose again for us. And he's given us the privilege through the simple water and the word of baptism, bringing us into the family. And he wants us to understand our identity, and he wants us to know we belong. And so Jesus is pretty harsh here when he says, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. What did the prophets say? They said that God was going to do a new thing, that he was going to give a new covenant. And Jesus fulfilled that covenant. I know it's hard to hear things that kind of make us cringe. And I'm sure this made them cringe. Here's a stranger calling them foolish and calling them slow of heart to believe. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. Sometimes when mothers say things, we might think that's kind of harsh. I found some interesting quotes. At least they were written by an author who thought he was funny. He thought he would share some possible things that mothers might say. For example, Paul Revere's mother. I don't care where you think you have to go, young man. Midnight is past your curfew. Mona Lisa's mother. After all that money your father and I spent on braces, Mona, that's the biggest smile you can give us? Humpty Dumpty's mother. Humpty, if I told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall. But would you listen to me? No. Columbus's mother. I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher, you still could have written. Babe Ruth's mother. Babe How many times have I told you, quit playing ball in the house? That's the third broken window this week. Michelangelo's mother. Mike, can't you paint on walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get the stuff off the ceiling? Napoleon's mother. All right, Napoleon, if you aren't hiding your report card inside your jacket, then take your hand out of there and prove it. Custer's mother. This comes close to home, being from Monroe and all. Now, George, remember what I told you. Don't go biting off more than you can chew. Goldilocks' mother. I've got a bill here for a busted chair from the Bear family. You know anything about this, Goldie? Albert Einstein's mother. But Albert, it's your senior picture. Can't you do something about your hair? Jonah's mother. That's a nice story. But now tell me, where you really been for the last 3 days? And finally, Thomas Edison's mother. Of course I'm proud that you invented the electric light bulb, Thomas. Now turn off that light and go to bed. Sometimes when the Lord is disciplining us and sharing the truth with us, it hurts. Sometimes on that road of discipleship, it's painful. And it's because of his love for us, the Lord wants us to experience his transforming power through his mighty word. He wants us to experience, as those disciples did, when Jesus revealed to them all that was spoken about him in the Holy Scriptures. It says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. I always just think this is a wonderful picture for mothers, right? Preparing the meal. Not all the mothers prepare the meal, I understand. But in our home, my mom did. And I think this is interesting because they prepare the meal, and he sits down with them. And while he is at that meal, he breaks the bread, give thanks, and right there in his meal, in the promised covenant that he has given to us that assures us the forgiveness of our sins, his very body and blood, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. You find this fascinating? It was in the sacrament that they recognized him, wasn't it? It was in the glimpse of the Last Supper that they recognized who he really was. It was in his very presence that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And it's right then when they recognize him that he disappears from their sight. I always think this is interesting, you know. Finally, their eyes are opened. You would think he would stay for some accolades. You know, it's a time for a high five. They got it. Kind of like graduation for parents. It's done. Right? But he disappears from their sight. And they asked each other, are not our hearts burning within us? Will he talk to us on the road and open the scriptures to us? What amazes me is their hearts were burning within them because they knew the gift of this new covenant that they had received when Christ died on the cross and said it is finished, when he proved it in the empty tomb that day. When he had victory over sin, death, and the devil, that promise, they finally understood. They finally appreciated. And it says their hearts burned within them. Brothers and sisters, that's our prayer. Is that our hearts would burn within us with the passion that they had, that even though I imagine it took them a long time to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, that 7 miles, it didn't take them a long time after their hearts were burning within them to run back and tell the disciples what they had experienced, right? It didn't take them long because it was already evening when they got to Emmaus. Remember, they said to the Lord, it's almost evening, the day is almost over. Stay with us. And yet after they broke bread, after they had prepared the meal, after their eyes were opened and they recognized him, it didn't take them that long to run back and tell them, the 11 assembled together, and to hear what they were saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And the two told them what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Unfortunately, for many of us, the covenant of transforming power that we have been given, that we have been promised, often gets overlooked, just like many things in our life that are important. And if I had a dime for every time I was there when a mother or a grandmother died, and someone said, you know, I never thought about how much I miss them. This is a wake-up call for us to recognize that only the power of the transforming gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, so that our hearts would burn within us to follow him and to do what he has for our life, but that we would recognize the value of our mothers and our grandmothers. We recognize the value of those who teach us the faith, who live as an example of sincere faith. As St. Paul told young Pastor Timothy, recognize that sincere faith that has been handed down to you. Brothers and sisters, this is the day for us to recognize the value we have in the gift of mothers. I want to close with some quotes that I thought were pretty powerful. And these aren't funny, sorry. But these are a reflection that people had when they thought of their mothers and the gift that they were to each one of them. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Jewish proverb says, God cannot be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. George Washington said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Abraham Lincoln also said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. And an unknown author said this, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Brothers and sisters, we have a covenant that, like Abram, we don't deserve. We haven't done anything to earn it. It is the gift that God cut with us when his son died on the cross and shed his blood. It is proven in the empty tomb. And the desire that God has for us is that our hearts would burn within us as we recognize how valuable we are. That our Lord chases after us like he did those disciples on the Emmaus Road. And he desperately, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to open Scripture to us so that we will recognize the value of sincere faith exemplified in grandmothers and mothers-to-be. May this be a day where our eyes are opened and our hearts burn within us. Amen.